Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
So I'm giving a short talk this morning, and then we're having our annual meeting. So there'll be a little break after my talk for those of you who aren't able to stay for our wonderful annual meeting. You will be missing out, nevertheless. Hi. last week in my talk, after I gave my talk, I had quite a few questions, and I want to try to deal in this short period of time with two of the questions I got. So the prose poem I talked about last week was Bob Dylan's My Love, She Speaks Like Silence, Without Ideals or Violence. She knows there's no success like failure, and failure is no success at all. So I got a lot of questions. One question, which I want to talk about, first question I want to talk about is, someone came up to me afterwards and said, why do you talk so much about failure? This person said, she said, in my heart, every time you mentioned the word failure, I felt a ping, ping. Why did I talk so much about failure? Then I felt like a failure in my talk. Right? Oh, I got my own bling, my own ping. Why did I talk so much about failure? Well, if we're going to move beyond our... our little self is always focused on success and always doesn't want to fail. If we're going to be really move beyond that division psychologically, spiritually, we have to have some failure, because with success we close down. With failure there's a possibility that we can open up. There's a possibility that we can go beyond the evaluating mind. With success, you're not going to go beyond the evaluating mind. You've got it. You're close to it. You're going to maintain it. With failure, there's a possibility you can let go completely of the small, complaining self. Completely. Now, of course, there's also the possibility you can go into a funk, a great funk. But even in the middle of your great funk, if you keep practicing, we call it in Zen, it's called in Chinese Zen, the bottom falls out of the bottom of the bucket. So the story I told last time was about my teacher being in a Rinzai retreat. My teacher was a Soto teacher, my first teacher. And he would never been in a samurai-type retreat before. He was a farmer Zen guy, where they just hung out. They just lived. And here he was in this retreat, and he'd always wanted to try it, because the Rinzai Zen was considered the warrior Zen. And he felt like he was failing. Everybody was mooing around him, and I'm not going to get into that today because I don't have enough time. Everybody was mooing and then having breakthroughs. And he was just sitting, watching his breathing, feeling stupid. But continuing to practice. And the teacher was this huge samurai teacher that they called Tanker, who walked around with a stick and hit everyone. But he didn't hit Suzuki. My teacher just ignored him because, you know, he was not doing the koan practice, the Rinzai practice. And I don't mean to be putting down the Rinzai practice at all. It's wonderful. So he felt like this was like the sixth day of the seven-day retreat, and he just was not making it. But even though he wasn't making it, he continued to come back to his breathing and try to practice bare awareness. And at some point, when he was getting up to go into the teacher's room to meet with the teacher, because he had to, and... you know, my teacher was a tiny little man, and this teacher was huge. when he opened the door and looked into his room, he felt a great silence all around him. And he looked at his teacher, and he said, I saw that I am Tanker. And he was 98 pounds, my teacher. He said, I saw that I am tanker. So that kind of thing happens. But don't try to make it happen. Don't cultivate failure, you guys. Don't dwell on failure. That's not what I'm talking about. Just be sincere in your life. Sincere in your practice. Moment by moment. And don't worry. Don't evaluate. You're okay. You're doing great. Shaking, spacing out, being really calm. When you steep yourself in silence, you become silence. Sooner or later, you become it. So my teacher, story number two, which I've told many times, when 45 years later, I was with my teacher. 45 years after that retreat, I was with him. And he was moving stones at Tassajara. He loved to move stones, great big stones, working with stones. He had big guys to work with him because he was a small guy. I didn't get to work with him because I was a small guy too. I took out the garbage. Great, great practice. Anyway, and so he was, and his balance failed at the top of the hill. Now, when I think about it these days, it's a very high hill. But it used to be a small hill. But every time I tell it, the hill gets bigger and bigger and bigger. If I went back to Tassajara, maybe there's no hill at all. maybe it's just this high. But now the highest, you know what I mean? The hill is huge. So he failed at his balance. His balance failed. And he tumbled down the hill. And I watched him roll down the hill. I'm sure I did. But maybe it was only this, although it seemed like this. I watched, and he was old, 65 years old. That's really old, right? That's ancient, right? Isn't that ancient? And I thought, we all looked, watching him roll down this hill that went on for hundreds of feet, right? And then he got to the bottom, and we went, oh. And he got up, and he dusted himself off, and he said, just like a stone. And he smiled, and he went back up to the hill and started doing his work. So there's no success like failure, and failure is no success at all, right? 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 So the second question that people ask me, only asked me a lot of questions. The second question I want to talk about after my is that people said, well, you've been practicing for 40, 45 years, 50 years. Well, tell us how you moved from just seeing the teacher, the silence in the teacher, so you want to follow the teacher around or, you know, lap up all his vibes all the time, to just experiencing the silence, just experiencing. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't know. And the woman said to me afterwards, that was not helpful. She said, that was not helpful. She said, how do you expect us to... Well, I've been here a few times. How do you expect me to come back? Then I felt like another failure. Second failure. How do I expect her to come back? Do I not want her to come back? Well, the eye doesn't know. If you move beyond your evaluative mind, the eye doesn't know. The eye doesn't need to know. The eye is based on evaluation. It's an evaluative being. It evaluates the boundaries between me and you. How am I doing in relationship to you? Am I, even if I'm not competitive, in a cooperative way, how are we doing? How are we doing? So how can I know? This silence that's so vast is not something that the eye can know. It just can't. It just can't. And yet, it's who we are. It's who we are. At base level, this is who we are. So, because it's... I think and I see I have only taken 10 minutes, so I will say one more thing. I will say one more thing, and that is I thought a little bit more about what I could have said, because I went home feeling like a total failure in the midst of silence, great silence in which sometimes you fail and sometimes you succeed, and it's all just a manifestation of stillness. It's all a manifestation of stillness because it's immersed in stillness. It is. I know people don't behave that way, but that's a human problem. It's a human problem that we all have. So I thought, oh, I could have said, and this is what I'll say today, I could have said, instead of, I don't know, well, what helped me was the three treasures, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So now I'm a nice traditional Buddhist, nice little traditional Buddhist, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha will help you make the transition from thinking the silence is within someone else to realizing that it's always here. It's always available. Okay? Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, you have to do all three. You don't have to worship them. Call them treasures. Well, that's kind of precious, isn't it? Treasures. Buddha, don't worship them. If you want to call them treasures, that's okay. But if you want to call them horseshit, call them horseshit. You know? Doesn't matter what you call them. They'll help you. They'll help you. Buddha is the teacher. The teacher helps you through this. It's hard. Because when you're immersing yourself in silence, lots of times, as I said last time, all you get is noise. So the teacher helps you. You should spend time with a teacher. You should get to know a teacher. If I'm not your teacher, find another teacher. There are teachers who can help you with this. You need a teacher. I needed a teacher. I still need one. That's why I've got all my pictures of all my teachers all over the place. I still need them. And then Dharma, that's sitting. That's zazen. That's a meditation. Meditation, steeping yourself in silence. In a daily meditation practice and in longer retreats. Very important. Very. And Sangha, community. We need to have a community of friends who support us. This is a community of friends who are supporting each other in this, steeping ourselves in noise so that we can discover the silence that envelops that noise continually, continually. So we need a friend. Even when I left my Zen centers, I always had one friend to sit with, always had one friend. And then the times I didn't have a friend to do this with, I didn't have a Sangha, my sitting was bad. I mean, not that my... When I mean bad, I mean I couldn't stay on my cushion, I couldn't bring my mind back, I kept thinking... But just having one person to encourage me always helped me. It still helps me. If I show up here in the morning and there's nobody here, I'll just take a nap. I'll just take a nap. But one of you, just one of you, your sincerity encourages me to settle down into this wonderful stillness that's always here. It's always here. It's not even this far away. Not even this far away. That's success failure that says it's this far away. So, I did this in 14 minutes. So I succeeded, didn't I? Or did I fail? No questions after this. No questions.